Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and if the city of New York is running a budget surplus this year, why does Mayor de Blasio's budget for next year borrow from reserve funds? That's what New York Post columnist and Manhattan Institute fellow Nicole Gelinas wants to know. She joins us now. Hi, Nicole. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian. Thank you for having me back.
This borrowing is to pay for the retroactive raises for the teachers and other public servants that will be paid out over the next few years?
Yes, and let's back up a little bit, if you don't mind. If you remember, former Mayor Bloomberg said for many years, going back to when Lehman Brothers collapsed nearly 6 years ago, the city cannot afford to give raises to the municipal workforce without getting some concessions in healthcare spending and pension spending and work rule productivity, because we have a big pot of compensation that's made up of wages, pensions, and healthcare. The more that it costs the city to provide pensions and healthcare, the less money the city has for raises, unless it wants to do something like raise taxes or cut back the number of people employed by the city severely so that each one can be paid more. And it was true that the city cannot afford to give out these raises. Mayor de Blasio is acknowledging that by saying we're going to give out retroactive raises for work that was done 2009 and 2010, but we are not going to pay these retroactive raises until starting in 2015 and going into the term of the next elected mayor, whether it's de Blasio or somebody else. And so whether one believes we should give a raise to the workforce or not, there shouldn't be much of a debate that if we're going to pay more for a service the city has already received, we shouldn't be borrowing 10 years after that service was received to pay these funds. If we want to pay retroactive raises, we need to dig in and find this $4.5 billion or so now rather than have the next mayor worry about it.
Well, teachers have been calling this program since the tentative contract agreement to say they're not thrilled that they're giving the city what they see as a no-interest loan.
Well, that's true.
The back pay raises of this contract that they won't actually get for another few years, they're not getting it with interest, and the city gets the float. So why not see it as a good bargain for the city on the backs of teachers in that respect?
Yeah, I'm glad the teachers have brought this up, because it is a no-interest loan. You know, it's difficult sometimes for people to understand that you can borrow from places other than a bank. You know, if I come over your house and cook you dinner and you say, I'm going to pay you for this, but I'm not going to pay you until next year, that's a loan that I'm giving you. And I'm taking some risk. I'm taking some risk that you won't be able to pay the loan, that you'll go bankrupt and so forth. And of course, the city is not going bankrupt over the next 5 years, but this is debt that is being taken out to pay for past operating expenses. And if we go back, you know, a little bit of history, the reason why the city is not allowed to borrow from banks, from bondholders for operating expenses is because it helps us with a little bit of fiscal discipline. You know, we got in a lot of trouble up until from the late 60s until 1975, because we had a policy of higher spending on public workforce, higher spending on social spending, but we couldn't afford the spending out of current tax revenues. And so we started borrowing from banks, borrowing from bondhouses. Eventually, we couldn't pay all of this debt and provide a level of services. So the state came in, took over in 1975, ran the city's budget for a decade, and said, no borrowing for operating expenses. Spend as much as you want, but you have to come up with the money now. And so this is a good place for the State Financial Control Board to step in and say, we can't start doing this again. The mayor wants to spend, fine, but he's got to find the money for it now.
You want the State Financial Control Board to actually overrule this. But when you compare this borrowing, as you do even in the headline of your New York Post op-ed, I don't know if you wrote the headline or somebody else did, which was Boogie Nights, which is a 1970s reference, but you do in the body of the article too, compare this borrowing to the practices leading up to the 70s fiscal crisis. Considering the city's overall financial state today compared to then, is that comparison a little alarmist?
Well, a poor person can spend more than he can afford, and a rich person can also spend more than he can afford. Right now, New York City is in the position of a rich person who is still taking on more obligations than are affordable. And when we really look at the city's economy, as the mayor said at the budget presentation last week, yes, things are generally good right now, but there are a lot of risks here, including the fact that it's very difficult for the city to create middle-class jobs. As both Mayor de Blasio and Mayor Bloomberg said before him, the city's job creation has been in retail, it's been in hospitality, hotels, restaurants, low-paying jobs that don't, you know, they don't provide a good middle-class living, first of all, but they also don't provide tax revenue to the city. The city is dangerously dependent on its top 1% for its income tax revenue. And that in turn is dependent on stock market, bond market, Wall Street jobs, all of which are very tenuous right now. These things are all dependent on the Federal Reserve's 0% interest policy that we've had since shortly after Lehman Brothers collapsed. There is a lot of risk here to increasing spending by billions of dollars a year for work that in large part has already been done.
And that is the cause, from what I've read, of much of the surplus in this year's budget. Some of the money that enabled the teachers' contract to be even as generous as it is higher than expected tax revenues, especially because Wall Street had such a good year, better than the Bloomberg administration projected it to have in its final budget, which still covers today. So is that what you see? And do you see Wall Street as likely to produce less for next year?
Well, no one can predict what Wall Street's going to do. If we could, we would be doing something else besides this. But a couple things to keep in mind. Wall Street has never added back the jobs that it lost starting in 2007, 2008. So the people who make the decisions on Wall Street realize this is not something that we can say this is going to last. We're going to add back the 20,000 or so employees who are still missing. They know that this is very dependent on Federal Reserve policy. And so is there a real risk that we could see lower Wall Street profits? Well, we're already seeing the banks come out with earnings, with revenue from trading that is way, way down from last year, from previous quarters. So it is something we should at least be concerned about. And how do you act in a concerned way? You do what Bloomberg did in estimating your revenues very conservatively.
And do you think de Blasio did not do that? Are the revenue projections for the next few years too rosy, in your opinion?
The mayor has increased his revenue projections from the last Bloomberg budget. Bloomberg put out a budget in November. De Blasio's revenue projections are up since then. The mayor may be right. He may be wrong. But by moving those revenue projections up, he makes it more likely that we'll have a bad surprise rather than a good surprise. You know, the history of Bloomberg budgeting was always estimate your revenues low, then you have them come in high, you've got a surplus instead of having to worry about budget cuts and layoffs at the end of the year.
And listeners, we could get in a few calls on Mayor de Blasio's budget plan for Nicole Gelinas from the New York Post and the Manhattan Institute, 212-433, WNYC, 433-9692. One thing that you question, as a lot of people have, is the mayor's assumption in the budget of $3 billion plus in savings on health benefits for the public sector unions that he insists the unions will be held to. This is about $1.3 billion in the teacher's contract, and he expects that to be expanded when the other unions settle. Why doubt that that will happen?
Well, I'm not as doubtful about that as some people may be. You know, as the mayor has said, these are enforceable through arbitration. In other words, if the city and the teachers can't achieve these savings, it will go to a panel that will decide what the savings will be for them.
And hold the rest of the thought for a minute, because I pressed the mayor on exactly that point when he was on the show the other day. And I want to play a clip of Mayor de Blasio explaining how some of this will be guaranteed in his view.
I would say that there is a mutual understanding that we have to get to the dollar figure. It is in the contract. The menu's in the contract. So it's not choose something, we'll see you later. It's something we do directly with the union. but it's by mutual consent from a choice. Think of it this way. You have to get to the dollar figure by the contract. You have a list of items that you can choose from to get there. What is obligatory is you have to choose, and it has to be done mutually.
Mm-hmm. So if he's stating it accurately, that $1.3 billion in health cost savings is in the contract.
Yeah, I think the problem is – well, two problems. One, these are easy savings, things like centralizing prescription drug purchases, doing this online rather than have it be done at thousands of pharmacies. These are things that should have been done years ago, and it really shows how no one really thinks very much about the taxpayer burden here, and not only the taxpayer burden, but the people who must accept service cuts. And you know, a couple years ago, talking about fewer after-school school slots and so forth. This money should have been saved a long time ago, and that's really the responsibility of Bloomberg. Exactly, Bloomberg was not the most fiscally prudent budgeter in the world either, but. So first of all, these are savings that should have been done. There should be a firm requirement here for teachers to pay something of their own health care insurance premiums. Most private sector employees have money taken out of their paycheck to pay for their health care premium. That should have been a given in this contract.
But why that in particular? Why would they need to seek to reduce – I mean, why isn't it better to seek to reduce the actual cost of the same health benefits rather than simply require teachers to pay part of the premiums, which could then just contribute to the bloat in healthcare inflation? The goal shouldn't be to cause people financial hardship for its own sake, as opposed to making healthcare more affordable, should it?
I think they should be doing both. It's past time to do the efficiency savings, and it really is time that teachers have to pay for some of their own health insurance. It is questionable whether it is progressive to pay people $119,000 a year if you stay and you commit yourself to the system. That's fine to be paid this wage that puts you in the top 15%, but it is not. It is questionable whether it is progressive to have people being paid well into the six figures, but also have no responsibility for their own healthcare premiums and no risk in retirement. You retire, you get half pay for yourself and your survivors for the rest of your life, including free healthcare in retirement. So these are real questions that the mayor needs to start asking. Is this something the city can continue to afford? And what is the price that the rest of the city pays? But no, not even a discussion about that. And in fact, literally no discussion. The mayor did not want questions asked of some people at last year's or not the mayor, but the mayor's press handlers did not want people asking very specific questions about this budget process. It's get this over with and go on to the next thing. I guess getting rid of the carriage horses is coming up next.
Do I gather they did not let you ask a question?
No,
you were there
didn't.
And
they
trying?
Did not.
But on the – and did you take that as because you're from the Post or the Manhattan Institute or because you wanted to get more specific than they wanted to get?
I think it is worrisome when people don't want to engage all questioners. You know, whether you agree or disagree, they should be having this discussion with the people who are – and not just myself but other people, as you mentioned, who have brought up real questions about is this a good thing to be borrowing in the future for past operating expenses. This is something that they should have to address at some point, and hopefully the city controller, Scott Stringer, who was elected to make sure that the city's budget is in balance and the people on the state control board, ultimately backed by the governor, do bring up these questions before it's too late.
By accepting this $1.3 billion in cuts to be achieved somehow in the healthcare costs, don't the teachers make a choice in effect that, okay, we're not going to pay more out of our pockets for premiums, but we are going to incur some pain and some risk here if some of the things on this menu come to pass, like even ordering your prescription drugs online as opposed to going down to your corner Rite Aid. My plan has that. That's a pain. Sometimes it's annoying, even though it saves money. The mayor would not on this show disagree with the statement, though he didn't confirm it, that teachers will lose choice of doctors because they're going to try to encourage people, or at least he says this is one of the things in the menu of items, to go to these centralized health center locations rather than pick any doctor and get a reimbursement. So the teachers are in effect making a choice that they're going to suffer these cost control measures that are going to inflict some limitations on their choices rather than contribute to the premiums.
Sure, and I think that's good. That's a positive thing in the contract. But it doesn't outweigh the fact that these savings don't make up for the extra cost of the retroactive pay. At least $2.5 billion worth of work done in 2009, 2010, that is after these future healthcare savings. So it is very tenuous to say we are going to pay for some savings in the past out of savings that we're going to achieve in the future. Why not have the mayor and the teachers agree we are going to shoot for a healthcare savings target? We'll come back in 5 years and say, how much did we save? And out of that savings, the city can have half the money, the teachers can have half the money. There are a lot of ways to do something fiscally responsible and creative, but the fact of the matter is, teachers' union president wanted to be able to go out there and say to his members, we waited out Mayor Bloomberg and we won. We got our retroactive pay. But it's not a matter of opinion. In the budget, this retroactive pay deal, because the savings don't come close to paying for it, not only are we borrowing far into the next mayoral term, but next year's budget deficit has doubled from $1 billion to $2 billion. You look 3 years out, you had a budget deficit of $400 million. Now it's well above $3 billion. So these are de Blasio's deficits.
Because
that he
of the projected costs.
Yes.
And they'll have to find other cuts or other tax hikes.
Yeah. Either we get very lucky, Wall Street continues to do better than expected, or they're going to have to hike taxes or cut other spending. But the bottom line is, these are his deficits that he has created. He may be right in doing this or wrong in doing this in his kind of gambit that the city's economy will keep doing better than expected.
But that's
the
gambit.
But he can no longer blame this on any previous mayor. These are de Blasio's future deficits.
Matt in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with Nicole Gelinas. Hi, Matt.
Hi, good morning.
Go ahead.
Nicole, I was wondering if Nicole could clarify an earlier comment about the real cost of borrowing against the reserves in order to fund these back payments. And if I heard her right, I think Nicole mentioned that these were zero interest loans and therefore that made it more affordable. But to me, it seems like if it's a real reserve, that money could have been invested. We've spent a lot of time talking about the investments of the city funds in other areas. And those investments would have had earnings that could have been used for this or anything else. And so that seems like an actual cost. Has the mayor talked about that at all?
Yeah, and there's no real reserves that the mayor is borrowing against here. This is just debt that they're taking on, an obligation that they will sign, that they must pay these payments out to the teachers union between 2015 and 2021. They're not paying interest on this, but it is a risk that the city is taking on, just as when it takes on any medium-term debt. And it is something that the city's bondholders should be interested in. Is the city taking on debt that is equal to bonded debt or subordinate to it, but an interesting precedent to borrow from the teachers for the work that the teachers have already done?
But so far, Moody's and S&P and those aren't barking. You are.
Well, ratings agencies do some very good work. They do some very good research, but they've also shown themselves to be somewhat slow sometimes in making warnings. They do not want to be the first people out there going against conventional wisdom and against the people who are responsible for producing the product that they need to sell.
From the Manhattan Institute and the New York Post, Nicole Gelinas with her critique of the fiscal underpinnings of the new budget plan that Mayor de Blasio has announced in the context of the tentative agreement with the teachers union. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.